John chapter 19, verses 28 to the end. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear. And at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled, "Not one of his bones will be broken." And again, another scripture says, "They will look on him whom they have pierced." After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there.
Brilliant. Thank you very much to Joe for reading for us. Do keep your Bibles open there. It's great to be gathered together this morning, isn't it, on this Easter Sunday to celebrate and remember Jesus' resurrection from the dead for us. Let me just pray for God's help as we come to hear his word together now. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that Jesus is not dead, but that he is alive. Thank you that through him we can have new life too. And we pray now that by your Spirit, you would help us understand your word and give us greater confidence in all that Jesus has done for us. Amen. Well, I wonder, did anyone receive one of these this morning, an Easter egg? If you did, I'd love you to go and grab it and show it to the screen so that we can see as many Easter eggs on screen as possible. I wonder, have you been eating Easter eggs this morning already? It might be too late for some of you. Perhaps you've already gobbled yours up. Yeah, Andy Stavell's halfway through his. Excellent. Yeah, there's some more coming. Wonderful. Just hold up to show a number of fingers to show us how many you've already eaten. Wonder who's had the most. Andy's already had one. Patrick's had none. Oh, there's lots and lots of Easter eggs going on here. This is wonderful. Wow, the Failers have had three already. Fantastic. Well, I haven't had a chance to eat mine yet, but I'm looking forward to eating this later. As you look at your Easter eggs, I wonder, how are you feeling about finishing your Easter egg? Put thumbs up if you're thinking, I'm going to be happy when my Easter egg's gone. And thumbs down if you're going to be a bit sad when it's gone. Thumbs down from the students there, from Emily and Rachel. Yeah, thumbs down. It's strange, isn't it? When we finish something, it can create mixed emotions in us. Sometimes we can be really happy if we finished a project at school or at work. You might look back and go, I'm really pleased, that's job done. It's all finished. But then sometimes it can be really sad or disappointing when we come to the end of it. Certainly I know that when I finish my Easter chocolate, I'm going to be a little bit disappointed. But then other times we might find ourselves being given a job or a task that just feels too hard for us. And so in those moments, we might say, oh, I'm finished with this. I'm done with this. I just can't do this anymore. And so the big question for us this morning, as we come to Jesus' final words from the cross, some of his final words from the cross, those famous words, it is finished, is what does Jesus mean? Are these happy and joyful words or are these sad words? Is this sad news, a tragic end to a good life? Is this Jesus giving up and saying, it's too much for me, I'm done with this? No, the brilliant news of this Easter morning is that it is neither of those. These words of Jesus, it is finished, are words of victory. Jesus is saying, this is job done. It's complete. All that my Father has sent me here to do is now done. That's why he doesn't say, I'm finished. He says, it is finished. He's not saying I've given up or I've been beaten. He's not saying that I've been defeated by those who've put me to death. Instead, he's saying everything that I came to do is now done. Now, I wonder, do you ever make lists of things to do at home? Perhaps your parents say, you've got to do this and this and this, and then you can have your pocket money. And you go around ticking off those things that your parents have asked you to do. Well, it's a bit like Jesus had a tick list of everything that he needed to do during his life in order to save us. And as he dies, as he says, it is finished, he's saying, I'm ticking off the very last thing that my Father has sent me to do. But there's a big difference. The lists that we do, we often make lists of things that we have to keep on doing time and again. We wish we didn't. Things like tidying our bedrooms or hoovering or washing up. But when Jesus says, it is finished, he means no one ever needs to do this again. It is complete forever. Well, that sounds like good news, doesn't it? But what is it that Jesus has completed? What were the things on Jesus' to-do list? Well, the first big thing that Jesus has ticked off is that our sin is dealt with. Our sin is dealt with. Now, if you've not heard the word sin before, sin is our rejection of God, our choosing to be in charge of our own lives, ignoring what God has said and choosing to do things our own way. And sadly, this has made a big problem. It's broken our relationship with God. But Jesus has come to sort that out, and by his death he does. And using the wonders of modern technology, I'm going to try and explain a little bit more how that works. Now, here I am. I'm over here on my own. As you can see, I'm on a clifftop over here. And the problem with sin is that it's created this big gap between me and God. God's way over there, and there's this big valley, this big chasm in the way. It stops me relating to God. I can't be friends with him anymore. I'm stranded over here, isolated. Now, if I could do this, you'd all be here with me on top of this hillside, God way over there. Now, I think we've all had a bit of an insight into what this is like. We're all feeling a bit isolated at the moment, aren't we? I mean, how are you finding not being with family and friends? It's really hard, isn't it? I certainly know our daughter, Emily, has really struggled with not seeing her school friends. It's really hard when we can't be with those that we love. But that's what our sin has done with us and God. It stopped us from being his friends, from enjoying his love and care of us. And unlike with our friends and family, we can't just call God up on Zoom and connect with him via some kind of video conferencing app. We're utterly cut off from him. Now, I think just like we all want to see our friends again, we actually all, deep down, want to be friends with God again. And the Bible often uses the language of being thirsty when it talks about this longing that we all have to know God and to connect with God. Now, I wonder, have you ever been really, really thirsty? I bet as you're watching that water pour into the glass there, you're starting to feel a little bit thirsty now. Now, I remember one day with one of my old gospel teams, one of our small groups here at Central, Jen and I went on a really long walk. Now, it was much longer than we'd expected. We didn't take any water with us, and the sun came out. It got really hot. And I tell you what, we were feeling so, so thirsty. It didn't feel like we were going to make it back. We were only halfway round, and all of us basically were ready to give up because we were so thirsty. But praise the Lord, in the middle of it, we found a shop that was selling water. And I tell you what, it was the best water that we'd ever tasted. It was the one thing that we'd need. We needed more than anything at that point. Now, when we got to the shop, I guess we could have bought anything. We could have bought some jelly babies. That would have been nice, but it wouldn't have quenched our thirst. But you know what? That's what so many of us do when it comes to this gap, this thirst, this hunger that we have for God. Instead of running to God who can satisfy our thirst, well, we look elsewhere. We look to new toys or gadgets or friendships or holidays. And you know what? They satisfy us for a little bit. But then what we end up finding out is that they end up being much more like dry crackers, making us even more thirsty than we already were. The wonderful news day of this Easter is that we don't need to be spiritually thirsty any longer. Because Jesus, as he died on the cross, as he hung on the cross for us, experienced the thirst that we have for God in our place. I don't know if you noticed that in our reading. Jesus said in verse 28, "I thirst." Now, it's not just that he needed some of this lovely water that you can see over here. Although he does get handed some sour wine to drink, doesn't he? But it's actually because he was being separated from his Father for us. He was actually experiencing this separation from his Father that we all experience. And that's why he said, "I thirst." Much like the psalmist says, "As a deer pants for living water, so my soul longs for you." Jesus is experiencing being cut off from God for us. But as he dies on the cross, Jesus' sacrifice is making a way back for us. He's paying the price to set us free, a price that we could never pay ourselves. And so Jesus dying on the cross, can you see he makes a bridge, a way over for us? Wonderfully, this means that I can now I don't need to stay over here on my own, but I can get to God again. I can be friends with him again. No matter who you are this morning, no matter what we've done, there's nothing that we need to do. Just trust in Jesus. And we can be friends with God again. We can have that thirst satisfied. Now, just imagine how it's going to be in a few weeks' time when we're all allowed to go back outside and go and see our friends and family again. Isn't that going to be great? Imagine your school friends. You're going to be able to run up to them and give them a hug. You don't have to stand 2 meters apart when you see them. You can give them a hug. You can play games with them again. We're going to be so happy to see people again, aren't we? Well, you don't need to wait until lockdown is over to be reunited with your Father in heaven. That's a reunion that can happen today through Jesus' death on the cross for you. So the first thing that Jesus ticks off on his list is that he deals with our sin. And the second thing is it means our friendship with God is restored. Tick. We have a mighty, mighty Savior who has died to restore our friendship with God. And we're going to sing about that now. Mark's going to lead us in another song, and then we're going to come back together for a few more thoughts about all that Jesus has done and what this Easter means for us. So back over to Mark. Now, I think we've been left with one big question through all the things that we've been thinking about this morning. If Jesus says it is finished, why is there so much more of the story still to come? Why is it that 3 days later, we read about Jesus being raised from the dead to new life? Well, I wonder, have you still got your Easter egg there? If you hold it up to the screen so I can see, yeah, everyone's got them on tap. That's great. Because it's a bit odd, isn't it? Why do we give eggs at Easter? Now, it's not just because chocolate is tasty, although it is. It's because Easter, the real Easter, is all about new life. And that's what eggs are all about, isn't it? New life. Have a little watch while I talk to you at this little video here. Now, this egg has got a little chick inside it. And as we talk, as I talk, as we watch, this chick is going to hatch out. And as the chick pecks its way out of its shell, as it starts to see the light, as it pokes its little face out and it says, comes into the world, it's just the beginning, isn't it, for this little chick? It's new life. But when the chick's fully hatched, at one level, we could say it's finished. The hatching process is over. It is done. It's complete. The chick is never going to have to go through that again. But really, this is just the start of its life. And that's the same with what Jesus does as he dies on the cross and he says, it is finished. He says, that part is over. The price for sin is paid. The prophecies about me have been fulfilled. And he's made a way for us to be friends with God again. But that's not the end of the story. It's the beginning. Which is why 3 days later, when the women arrived at Jesus' tomb to anoint his dead body, they didn't find a dead body to anoint. They found that Jesus was alive. He was risen. See, there's that chick. It's fully hatched. Its hatching process is pretty much finished. And yet it's just the start of its new life. If there was any doubt that Jesus truly had done all that was necessary to beat sin and death once and for all, his resurrection proves it beyond a doubt. And because Jesus rose, because he is not dead, he's alive today, we can have new life today as well. A new life that lasts forever. Which is wonderful news. It means that we don't need to fear death. Jesus has beaten it. It is finished. And so this Easter time, this strange Easter time, where we're isolating from one another, Jesus offers us true and lasting hope. So as we tuck into our Easter eggs, as we break them open and crack into them, remember that Jesus shattered death and offers true and everlasting life today. Now, perhaps you're here this morning and you haven't yet received this new life, the new life that Jesus promises for you, a new life of relationship with God, but you'd like to. Well, in a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer that I'd love you to join in with, a prayer that asks for forgiveness, a prayer that asks for God to look on the death of Jesus as your death. A prayer that trusts Jesus for new life that begins today and that will last forever. So if you'd like to respond to Jesus today, or if you want to reclaim those promises for yourself again this morning, please do repeat the prayer a line at a time after me. I'll pray a line and then I'll leave space for you to either in your heart and mind repeat the prayer or say it out loud. No one else is going to hear you. Apart from the Lord or whoever sat in the room with you. So let me pray. And if you'd like to, do join in with the prayer. Dear God, I am thirsty for you. Thank you that Jesus was separated from you on the cross so that I no longer need to be. Please forgive me for my sin. For all the ways I've lived my life without you until now. Thank you that Jesus has paid the price for my sin fully and completely. Thank you that Jesus is alive today. Please help me to experience and live this new life with him today and always. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have prayed that prayer, let someone know. If it's the first time you've ever prayed that prayer, you've invited Jesus to, you've asked Jesus to forgive you, you've started new life with him today on this resurrection day, let someone know. If you'd like to be in touch with one of the leaders here at Central, just email info@cccen.co.uk. Tim will give you that email address at the end, and we'd love to be in touch and talk with you more about it. But let someone you know who is a Christian know that you've started new life with Jesus today. For all of us who've done that perhaps a few years ago or many years ago, today is a wonderful day, isn't it? A day to be reminded that we have new life that isn't just for now, but that will last forever and ever with our gracious, loving Saviour. And so we're going to finish our time together now by singing Thine Be the Glory, a great song of praise to our wonderful Saviour. Back over to Mark to lead us.